بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We move on to hadith number 93, is it? And who will volunteer to read it for us? Yes, brother.
Narrated Abu Qatada al-Ansari رضي الله عنه. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was offering prayer and he was carrying Umama, the daughter of Zainab radhiyallahu anha, the daughter of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was the daughter of As ibn Rabi ibn Abd Shams. When he prostrated, he put her down, and when he stood, he carried her on his neck. Sahih al-Bukhari.
This is a mistake by those who translated the hadith. The name of the husband of Zainab is Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi', not al-As. Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi'. In this hadith, we learn that the Prophet ﷺ had other grandsons or other grandchildren than al-Hasan wal-Husayn, because we know al-Hasan wal-Husayn were the sons of Ali and Fatima. But Umama was also his granddaughter from his daughter Zainab, and her husband was Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi'. May Allah be pleased with them. And a lot of the Muslims don't know that the Prophet ﷺ had a son-in-law in the name of Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi'. And he was a mushrik. Yet he was very peaceful, loving, and respecting to the Prophet ﷺ. Unlike the previous sons-in-laws of the Prophet ﷺ, because we know that Ruqayya and Kalthum were married before two. When the mic.
Abu Lahab's sons.
Abu Lahab's son. And we know that Abu Lahab was the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. So two of them were married to two of the Prophet's daughters, alayhi salatu wasalam, and when the Prophet announced, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he was the messenger of Allah, they divorced and separated his daughters. So, one of them was married to Uthman, and when she died, Uthman married the other daughter of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Zainab, and of course we know that all the daughters of the Prophet, alayhi salam, were from his first wife, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, may Allah be pleased with her. The Prophet loved Khadija so much, it's beyond our understanding. The true love, if you want to see true love, look at the love of the Prophet ﷺ to Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her. Abu al-As did not accept Islam, yet he did not force his wife to reject Islam. And this shows you how great man he was, though he was a mushrik. And when he was captured by the soldiers of Islam, after some time, when after migration, he sent Zainab to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because she's a Muslim and he's not. So she went and accompanied her father sallallahu alayhi wasalam in Medina. And after a while, he was captured among the other soldiers who were captured. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam requested that they would pay ransom so that they would free themselves. Zainab, when she knew that her husband or ex-husband was among the people, she sent a medallion, a necklace, that her mother Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her, gave it to her on their wedding day. And she sent this medallion to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as ransom. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the medallion, he broke into tears. And he remembered Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her. And the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, O people, by Allah, I did not know about this. And this medallion came as a ransom for Abu al-As. And if you wish, you leave Abu al-As for me. And if you don't, no. He is like all other prisoners. And the people immediately said, O Prophet of Allah, he is for you and he is to go. So the Prophet ﷺ set Abu al-As free. The man went to Mecca as a merchant. He took all the things that he was entrusted with because he was an honest man. The deposits, he gave it back to the people. The goods, he gave it back to the people. And then came to Medina and accepted Islam and embraced Islam. So the Prophet ﷺ gave him back his wife. May Allah be pleased with them all. And from this, scholars concluded that if a woman accepts Islam while her husband is still a non-Muslim and they separate, but she does not get married again, even after 10 years, if he accepts Islam and they want to go back again together, they can without making a new marriage. And that is why the Prophet gave Abu al-As his wife without renewing the marriage contract. However, if after separation she chooses to get married again, khalas, the marriage is over and she can marry whoever she wishes to marry. The hadith we are studying today is regarding, one, the simple or minor movement, two, carrying an impurity, because a child would usually not be as clean as an adult. They urinate, defecate without knowing, so they're wearing their pampers or they're wearing their diapers, and we do not know if there is a najasa or not. So what's the ruling on that? First of all, let's address the issue of najasa. Is it permissible for me to carry an impurity in my pocket while praying? Meaning that if I go to the hospital and they request a sample of urine, so I make the sample of urine, I make wudu, and I put the sample of urine in my pocket, and the prayer time is called, so I go and pray before submitting it to the laboratory. Is my prayer valid? The answer is no. If I know that it's in my pocket, it's not valid, because one of the conditions of my prayer being valid, I am in the state of purity in my body, in my clothes, and in the place I'm praying in. Now, if I'm carrying a child, if I know that the child has an impurity, my prayer is invalid. But if I don't know, the default is that the child is pure. So before praying, do I have to check the diapers? Or do I have to smell if the child is pure or not? No. As long as it appears to me that the child is pure, there is no apparent najasa, then I can pray. But if it appears to me that otherwise there is a najasa apparent, something is leaking or the smell is overwhelming, then I cannot pray. Secondly, the Prophet alayhi salat wasalam is leading the prayer while carrying his granddaughter. What would you do if you saw the Imam of the masjid carrying his child and praying? You probably make takfir. This guy is kafir, he's an innovator, he's doing, and this is because of our ignorance and not having sufficient knowledge. The Prophet ﷺ had a lot of mercy, especially to his children, to his grandchildren. It was reported once that he was giving khutbah on the minbar, on the pulpit, and he saw Al-Hasan or Al-Hussein, 3 years old, walking and falling on his face because of the long dress. Child. The Prophet came down and carried the child and embraced it and kissed it, and then went up again and said, Subhanallah, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, Innama amwalukum wa awladukum fitna. This is a test from Allah, your wealth and your children. And when I saw my child walking, I could not tolerate but go down and kiss him. And by Allah, my son, this son of mine, meaning Al-Hasan, He is a Sayyid. He's a dignitary of his people, and Allah will reconcile between two big groups by him. And this is what happened, as we know from history. So the Prophet had great love, alayhi salatu wasalam, to his children. One of the nomads, one of the tribesmen, saw him kissing Al-Hasan or Al-Husayn. And the man said, "You, the Prophet of Allah, do this?" He said, "Yes." "What's wrong?" He said, "I have 10 children. By Allah, I had never ever kissed any one of them." The man is proud of this. He's a tribesman. "I've never kissed any of my children." The Prophet said, can I help you if Allah has taken the mercy of your heart? That's something I cannot do. So the Prophet ﷺ used to do this, carry his grandchildren or tolerate them. In one narration, he was once leading the prayer in the masjid, and while prostrating, he prolonged the prostration to the extent that one of the companions raised his head because he thought that the Prophet has expired, he died. He took so long, prostrating, and we're waiting, wait, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, he's not finished. So he raised his head because he thought definitely the Prophet died, and he found that Al-Husayn was on his back. So he went back to prostration until the Prophet ﷺ finished the prayer, and then the Prophet addressed him. And he said that, "I was prostrating and my grandson came and mounted me as a beast, as his ride. So I didn't want to bother him." Look at the love the Prophet ﷺ had for his children and grandchildren. However, movement in prayer, because the hadith states that whenever he wanted to prostrate, he would what? Put Umama on the ground, prostrate, and when he stood up, he picked her up again. So imagine how he would do ruku' and rafa' from ruku', and she moves from one side to the other. So this is movement. So is this part of the movement that is permissible in salat or not? This is, inshallah, what we will learn after the break. So stay tuned.